Welcome to Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunanida. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. Our guest today is Larry Amick Smallwood, who grew up in Ajimoog, the Lake Lena district of Mille Lacs. He has worked as a language instructor for the Minneapolis Public Schools, Neosheng School, the Leech Lake Tribal College, and the University of Minnesota Duluth. Since 1999, he has served as the director of language and culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe. But first, a story about the recent John Beargreese Sled Dog Marathon. If you've been right at the start of the John Beargreese Sled Dog Marathon in years past, you've heard the prayers offered at the beginning of the race and listened to the Burntside Singers sing a traveling song, a gesture meant to honor John Beargreese and keep the other mushers safe on the trail. Ron Beauchet is the great-great-grandson of John Beargreese. He offers the prayers in the pipe ceremony at the beginning of the race, and he is a member of the Burntside Lake Singers. Recently, he invited KUMD's Lisa Johnson into his home to talk about his great-great-grandfather, the meaning of ceremony, and how the music of the drum can bring people together.
Number one, John Beargreese is my great-great-grandfather. And my great-grandmother was Rosie Beargreese Strong. She married George Strong. But anyway, Billy Blackwell came to me one day and he says, Ron, he says, I need you to do the Beargreese next year. And I told him, I said, I can do that. And he says, it's time for me to go walk other roads. So I started doing the opening ceremony, and I used to go down there just with my pipe and my spiritual items that I carry. And then I'd do the pipe ceremony. Then they asked me for a drum. You know, if we could sing some songs, some special songs. So my brother, Joe, he is our a drum keeper of our Burnside Lake Singers, we call them, our drum. Anyway, and then I asked him to come and do that. So anyway, I started doing the opening ceremony. And then finally one day I told him, I said, John Beargreese is my great-great-grandfather. And they were like, wow, you know, he is, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you know, it was this, and I explained. I said Rosie Beargreese was my great grandmother. I said she was my mother's grandmother. I said and I remember her, you know, her stories, her winter stories and stuff. I said and my mother used to pass them down to us. So that's how I got started in the Beargreese, and I've been doing that every year now for the past nine years. I've been doing the Beargreese. And it's an honor because when we do that ceremony, and there's hundreds of people that are gabbing away, you know, and talking, reminiscing about blah, blah, blah. But when that ceremony starts, you could hear a pin drop. That's the respect that they're giving us when I do that pipe and when we do them songs, and some of them songs are touching. And some of them songs can do that to certain people. You know, it'll bring tears and choke them up once in a while, you know. And there's certain songs that do that, you know. So, but we sing, we honor John Beargreese. We go out to the start of the race. And everybody that runs the race, they go out there and they put tobacco down by his gravesite out there. So all this kind of stuff, that's what we do when we... In the Beargreese, I tell the mushers when I pray, you know, all my friends and relatives. And my relatives are the ones, the four-leggeds, the ones that crawl and the ones that swim, all living beings. And that's why I always pray for that. And I always pray for myself last, because I come first in someone else's prayers. When they do that ceremony, his spirit, we believe his spirit is there, you know. And so we believe John Beargreese is there. So we always let his sled go first and lead the way. And then the mushers go. And that's why that night, when I do that ceremony that night, I pray for that. That he leads the way. And that he sees that trail is okay, that there's no harm coming to the mushers. And then the dogs. You know, I pray for the dogs, you know. I pray for them too because... But yeah, we believe that very strong.
Ah, 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 ah.
It's the heartbeat. We call it the heartbeat of our people, you know, the Mother Earth. All of that stuff came from the earth, the wood, the animal gave his life so that we can put the skin over the drum, and the drum came, like I said, came from the women. They made that drum, and then they had these songs, and they gave them to the men for their warriors to protect them, you know, in different songs. And then we have the traveling song, you know, that's song means to go, but to come back safe, have a safe journey and a safe return. Our one song that we sing too towards the end, and then we have we sing just like maybe an honor song, you know. And what that honor song does is it honors everybody, you know. The way things are nowadays, you know, you're a dumb Indian, you know. You're this, you're that, you know, labeling, you know, stereotype. But little do we know, you know, in our hearts and in our blood, you know, we are all one people. And these honor songs, we honor not only our people, but we honor all people. You know, when me and my cousin were growing up one time, we went and bought bleach. And we were going to go in the woods and wash up with that bleach, and so we could be white. So we wouldn't get teased at school and called names. My mother stopped us, and then she said, "Where are you guys going with that?" So we told her what we were going to do. You know? And she said, "Someday," she said, "you get an education, you get away from this reservation," she said, "people are going to come to you because you're Native American. They're going to want to learn from you." And that's the way we are. We in them songs, we're opening a door to let all people in. That's that drum, you know, that boom, boom, boom. It's calling, you know, calling you. Come join us. Come be with us, a part of us. Come love us. Come be loved.
Ron Beauchesne is the great-great-grandson of John Beargreese. He conducts the pipe ceremony at the beginning of the John Beargreese Sled Dog Marathon, and he is a member of the Burntside Lake Singers. This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunida, a program of Ojibwe culture and stories. Our guest today is Larry Amick Smallwood, a language instructor at the University of Minnesota Duluth. He is also the Director of Language and Culture for the Mille Lacs Band of Ojibwe and is a contributing voice to the Ojibwe People's Dictionary, an online resource created by the University of Minnesota.
I was asked in a proper way to tell a story about Ojibwe culture, so I'm going to talk about the jingle dresses that originated down in the Mille Lacs area, Mille Lacs Lake. And I was given tobacco, and that's a proper way to be asked to do something. So I'm going to do that. The jingle dress is a spiritual dress. I've heard many times that it came from the Mille Lacs area. And I did some research on it with some elders, and I found out that it did. But I'm going to tell this original story in Ojibwe, and then I might translate when I'm finished here. Pani ku ingi nundan inu zi baska iganan gi piunja kamagak ude Mrs. Haga iganing. Mimja kungi pinundan yo pani. Nguring dashigu gashigu kwejma guangir chay ag. Gegit na gyunzi kamaga do zi baska iganuma. Mrs. Haga iganing gegit gi kido kumezi. Vejigaka kwejmak. Mia mimja uma. Ginibi duadmani saki gi kido. Mima gata do kumezi. Nguring dushku ashimaja tadi shugi po ajigid. Ashimaji po ajigid. Nomanaza sudabika po anagwe nanu. Ukwe wa nimanid. Uge mayaga abaman giwe, uge mayagit tawan giwe. Miyashigo, numar da chinga poa na green. And good in a discussion, we in the moad new, we would never pun in the moad, I can go quick, name you odd. One to make an ogles working, one to make an ogles working, name you odd, make an ogle in the gay, or no good, that's the one he could look. I say, there's an ogle could go new, even. Oh, basically, you saw squab, no, you saw, no, I gave squabbing. No, you saw squab, basic. But kind of go with Pugazuig, he could do. Gonna go away, Pugazuing, Pugazuig, Nordro, JP Pugazuig, Nigan Kash, Shimuad, Ongagi, Eshe, Tasiog, Kido. Meant to go, no good, asking a piece of Kamuajim, Nano, Bushquig, and the Muckers, no one. No gay, you took Kunawan, and Machin, so on, Muskabin, so on. Put in the Boana, I can go. You see the guys we kid it out quay and digga and got under my go quay on the object base or the goes at 2 minutes the new one. Guys, you go quay some on your quay on the boy do cargo, guys, you should 2 1 go quay on your knees going on digging. Me just got keys at 2 1. Okay, when is he gay? Oh, okay, geek a great smell. I just care got puggers out last night. I should go off, got your up and dad knew we into the more end. Care got puggers in it. Naming it. We just got to get canning or quay got puggers out. We should know, got to get canoe and watch and all. Got to get canoe and watch on and no quay when you got puggers out. You want to jig, you want to jig quay, jig quay, gay or crazy. I'm on the government. Name it out. Missing gooding, got to name it, do out tomorrow. Get to the Magasaga, Dana Suagway, Magasaga, I got Pamia Wagway, no basic quizzes, and gonna go up and give me little scene, need to go quizzes. Really, guys, you eat you all, I do the you need me to add. Miss Majiga, give them a double of quizzes, gishingishin, giakusig it. You got Kizzy Todd, Gasqua, say my Kiwad, Magasqua, Bugajigiwad. Miss Gas at the bottom of all crazy. Guy in Abandung. Me just guys, as an undermod near Kerna Hau, that's probably been the gay Shimogama. The Abandu Awang going Shanabi Kia, guy in Abandu Gayan. Me so ye might have been a gay arch go get Nagamuad, Maja Muad and Nagamunan. Gab to Tuad. Well, he wanted Jika Shimog, go Quayog, Neewan. He wanted him in Wayway and gained a Buabi Kumusan Maga, got to the beak of the Muad and Magagua Muad. John got acquainted or acquaintance got acquisite. He took a inabit who you have done on in Kaya. When the Kamaka couldn't wander, who be cheek at time, I show up by the name in it now. You get a piece of work, you know, now some niggas work here, gosh, a number of it. As you understand, machine guessing, gosh, a number of it. Can I have a mad new quaver? Me, that's a go. She go in a spit a bit cut a nigg, me, she work here, no acquaintance, she work. Gi be sure gi naze kwad no nominijin goes up zibaska again and got piece of kumwadin. Mima gi we just from what toad. Bina sugar gashquad name me toadima. Me okay, I got naja with toad oh. Okay, man, is even all gay or basic when the mooing, it could wage my gabago modest there, ma. She's gonna getting gawaw in the mood there. No gay or kumanzi, but gawaw in the mood. Mission good in the care, go up again, car guys, and say, God, they go on and basic number 2. See, Baska again. Minua game, give it on care. I was some, just going to go on. I am going to do my, was my Fort Main International Falls. As you mean, you got to be my base, or I am going to go in there, going to get music, guys, and there's some more to get basic. Midas Gimaji, Kahimaji, Gimaji, Kamagak, Gimaji's Kamagak, Zibaska again, and Nungum das Baby Karnas Nagadun on the Rawaske Kawan. Get gay, Gawin. It's a Shimosiwa guy, it's a Shimuat Kumaris, Zabaska gauging. Gagishababa Tuug, Aumbigwashkan Rug. Kenegago, I say Tawa gay. Now in the Sweden, Ido Gio, Kea, Jashimus, Emil. Me the show, Quaidens ga nujin with me, when you should cut the gill. You don't want to do what I do. See, boss, Kagan. Me, Nicka, I got you in the Margo. Quaidish mongers are gonna see with tall and go busy in the wedding. Translate that in English. I had often heard that the jingle dress came from Mille Lacs, so curiosity got me, and by then I was teaching in a public school. I was teaching a lot of native students culture and language, and I decided I better go check this out. So I went to Mille Lacs and I approached an elderly gentleman and asked him. I said, is that true that the jingle dress came from Mille Lacs? He said, yes it is. He said, down below the hill here in Mille Lacs, there was a village, was, and they had an area where they used to have their drum ceremonies and their dances. An old man lived there, and he started having this dream all the time of these four women dancing. He thought nothing of it at first, but then it kept recurring. There were four women in his dream that were dancing, and they were dancing in these different styles of, there were different colors of dresses, and they had little metal cones on them. So he told his wife about that, and his wife said, man, maybe we should make those dresses. She said, I'll get some of my friends, a couple of my friends to come over, and we'll make those dresses, and you better do an offering for them. So he did, and his wife asked him, how did they dance in your dream? Well, he showed his wife how they danced. They danced in a rapid forward side-to-side movement. Not dancing backwards or turning around or spinning around or anything like that. They didn't carry anything. They just had the moccasins, the dress, the headband, and carried a little scarf or a little purse on their hip, which they held on to. So his wife, along with a few of those ladies, made those dresses. And then she taught those ladies how to dance, that style that he talked about. And she said, we better bring these out at the next drum ceremony, which they did. Sometime later, they were having a drum ceremony outside, and they happened to have a young girl with them. Don't know if that was his daughter or his granddaughter or what it was, but they took her over there, and she was really sick at the time. So they made a place for her to lay down there while the ceremonies were taking place. And the little girl laid there. She was sick. I don't know what was wrong with her. But after they got done with their ceremonial portion of their drum doings there, he got up and he talked about his dream. He said, I had my wife make these dresses, and these ladies are going to come out and dance. So they started singing, and he told the singers how the beat went. So these four ladies came out with the red, the blue, the green, and the yellow, and they were dancing. And he looked down, he saw that little girl starting to get up, trying to get up to check out what was making that beautiful sound. And as the evening went on, she eventually sat up from laying down, and she was watching those. And the evening kept going, and by the time it was getting late into the night, that little girl made her way out there and started dancing alongside those jingle dresses. And that is why they refer to it as a healing dress. Now, these dancers, they don't dance fancy. They have the basic blue, red, yellow, and green. And they only carried that little purse and held onto their hip. And they didn't carry fans. They didn't wave their hands in the air or anything like that. It was traditional jingle dress. And it carried on. Mille Lacs people sent those dresses, a couple of them, to White Earth. We had relatives in White Earth at the time. This came about in 1900, give or take a few years. They sent one or two of those dresses up to White Earth because we had relatives there. And then from there, White Earth people gave them to our friends in the Dakotas. And then also the Mille Lacs band sent the dress up to a reserve north of International Falls. I'm not sure which reserve it is. And they had one of the colors. So from there, you know, it started. The jingle dress dance started. And nowadays they have the contemporary jingle dress, which is all flashy, and the ladies are hopping around and they're waving their hands up in the air, doing the prince's wave and all that. They never used to do that. They never carried fans or anything. They didn't wear eagle fluffs. They were just plain. And that's how we observe the jingle dress. One of the things, I go to powwows a lot, and sometimes I MC a lot of powwows. I hear them request jingle dress dancers, come on out here. We need a healing song. So when you want spiritual help, you have to gift those people you ask. So they ask the jingle dress dancers come out, do a healing song, and they give the drum they pick the drum, so the drum sings the song, and the jingle dress dancers are out there doing their healing song. And then when they get done, they say, thank you, jingle dress dancers. Well, the jingle dress dancers go back and sit down, and they give the drum money and tobacco. Well, it's those jingle dress dancers that are doing the healing, and they're not gifted. They should be gifted tobacco and a gift if they're asked to come and do some spiritual help. And I see that a lot in powwows. I have said something at a couple of powwows when they've asked jingle dress dancers to come out. I said, well, you better gift those jingle dress dancers if you want their help. So that's a little bit about what I know about jingle dresses. I asked an elderly gentleman, now he's passed on, and the elderly lady that I asked, she's still over in Mille Lacs there, living healthy. She's quite old. She's healthy, and she knows about the jingle dress. So that's what I have to say about the jingle dress.
What do you know about how, like, it's correct, right? You're only supposed to dance jingle if you have the dream? Is that the...
No. Anybody can jingle dress dance.
Mm-hmm.
But they just have to, they should know the story behind the jingle dress and why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody can dance. They don't have to, one of the big misconceptions that you have to sew 365 jingles on there and a prayer for each jingle. That's not even the way it was.
Mm-hmm.
You sew enough jingles on to make a nice sound and that's it.
Has it changed a lot, do you think, over the past from what these elders that you talked about since the original, going way back?
Oh, yeah, yeah. The traditional jingle dresses, they're out there. A lot of them are dancing traditional, but the majority of them are dancing contemporary, kind of like fancy dancers in a jingle dress. There's a big difference. A lot of these jingle dress dancers, well, the traditional jingle dress dancers will go to powwows, and they'll go to competitions from powwows. And they're not even, they're overlooked by the judges because they're not out there waving their hand or, being all flashy and everything. Now, traditional jingle dress dancer is a little more humble, and so.
I mean, is that something that you think that people should look for, like in contest powwows, like if they were really like, I don't want to say judging it correctly, but what I mean, that it would be emphasis on, like you say, the older style or?
A good judge will look at how the person is dancing, okay? The rhythm, the beat, on time with the drum, then the outfit and whatever. Now, if he's got a nice traditional dancer out there that's dancing really good, and you have a contemporary dancer flying by there, he's going to know the difference, which one is which. Then he's going to start watching. She's dancing contemporary. She's dancing traditional. I'm going to watch the footwork. I'm going to watch all this.
Yep.
So he or she should know the difference.
Does audience dictate a lot of that stuff? Like there's certain audience expectations who might not be as well versed in the traditional kind of roots of jingle dress or any other kind of dance for that matter, I guess. I think, when we go to powwows, like that's what the audience kind of responds to more.
The audience likes the flash.
Yeah.
They like that. Boy, they're all into that. So.
And do you think there's pressures on maybe dancers, especially younger people, to kind of give that? And then it gets maybe confused where, if it's a contest powwow, then they think that's what it... I don't know. I mean, I hate to be one of those like purist type people or suggest that. But...
Oh, there's nothing wrong with contemporary. It looks nice. It's just that there's a big difference in contemporary and traditional. And people should know that. They're just not going to stand out in a contest powwow where people are being judged. Like I said, they like the flashiness of the jingles. Yeah. That's why you see some fluorescent orange, green, pink, blues, red, and all that. And you'll see the plain red, blue, green, and yellow dresses,
You mentioned that they gave, the first people that they gave the first dresses to were over at White Earth.
Right.
And I just wondered if you could maybe talk a little bit about the kind of connections there between Mille Lacs and White Earth, and maybe as it pertains to like the removal and how many, you know, certain families, from my understanding, went to White Earth, some came back, but did it have anything to do with that, or is it just family people?
Well, I can answer that. I just know we had relatives over there, you know, from that removal, and they wanted to share with their families. So, you know, they gifted them over there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, being good neighbors, you know, with the Lakota and Dakota people, you know, we sent some of those dresses over there. And then, of course, like I said, over north of International Falls. And we had a group of people come down from up north there about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, and they wanted to find out more about the jingle dresses. So we had some of our elders there, and we have a descendant of that man that had that dream, and she was there, and we gifted our neighbors there north of International Falls 4 new dresses, those colors, and they have a big jingle dress celebration up there. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to make it up there because at the same time we have our Hinckley contest celebration.
That's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our guest, Larry Amick Smallwood, for sharing his stories with us. This is Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunidada. I'm your host, Eric Reddix. To listen again to past episodes of Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunidada, visit the KUMD website at kumd.org and click on Audio Archives. As part of the commemoration of the 40th anniversary of American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota Duluth, the Department of American Indian Studies and the American Indian Student Organization at UMD invite you to join us for an evening of Ojibwe music with Michael Sullivan Sr., Monday, April 1st at 6 p.m. in the Kirby Ballroom on the campus of the University of Minnesota Duluth. Michael grew up on the Lac Da Reservation near Hayward, Wisconsin, and is a founding member of the award-winning drum group Pipestone. Michael will perform hand drum songs and discuss different song styles and genres of Ojibwe music. The event is free and open to the public. Refreshments will be served. Ojibwe Stories, Gaganunidada, is produced in cooperation with KUMD and the Department of American Indian Studies at the University of Minnesota Duluth, with funding provided in part by a UMD Strategic Initiative grant from the Chancellor's Office of UMD, and by N.A. Gikain Da Soyoung, the Center for Indigenous Knowledge and Language Revitalization at the University of Minnesota Duluth.